Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, will be on the show here coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll also be joined by Rex Hudler at the top of the next hour at 3 o'clock. Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler will join us on the show today. Bink will also be in studio today for his usual Tuesday appearance. You're listening to The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, Odyssey app, all of that good stuff. As I look outside today and I look at this weather, it's very gloomy, it's very rainy. I'm not in the mood to start with the Royals today. I don't want to bring you down. I'm in a good mood today. We've got a lot of time to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, and we will do so in today's show. But where I would like to start today's show is Rob and I saw Top Gun Maverick yesterday. And let me tell you this. I don't know what you've got planned today or tomorrow, but cancel those plans to go see this movie. This was a summer blockbuster masterpiece. Some of the best visuals, energy, cinematography that I can remember at the movie theater. Now, I was fortunate enough to see it yesterday with Rob at the IMAX theater. I don't know how your financial situation is, but if you've got the extra coin to spend, go see it in the IMAX. The sights, the sounds, the planes, the missiles, top notch. I can't give Top Gun Maverick more of a seal of approval than I currently am. A phenomenal summer blockbuster. To give you a comparison to the movie, I love the Rocky series. Seen them all, can quote them from start to finish. Love the Rocky series. I was really curious to see how they were going to do Creed, how they were going to make Creed relatable to a new audience. And boy, did they pull it off. Top Gun Maverick is basically the Creed version of the Rocky series. It plays off the nostalgia very well. You've got a great young actor in Miles Teller who does a fantastic job in his role. Two thumbs up. Bravissimo. I highly encourage you to go see Top Gun Maverick. It's going to make like $300 million this weekend at the box office. Whatever you are doing tonight, cancel your plans. Hire a babysitter and go see Top Gun Maverick.
I mean, this movie was just incredible. Listen, I thought at times, and I love Top Gun 1, it may have leaned a little heavy in the nostalgia, but who cares? Top Gun 1 is amazing. Lean into the nostalgia all you want. This was a picture-perfect summer film. This is going to do a Marvel film number on weekend one, which is just insane. Tom Cruise is exceptional. Miles Teller is exceptional. Jennifer Connelly's character serves no purpose, but she's in the movie, so that's good for her.
She was great to look at in the movie, though.
She served her role. Hey, go be in there. Go be a hot old white lady. That's her job. She nailed it. This movie, it got an A- for me, mostly because Jennifer Connelly's storyline is totally useless. But you know what? Outside of that, perfect movie. I agree with you. See it in IMAX, if you can. If you can, see this in IMAX, because it just, there are moments where the visuals are incredible. And I didn't realize how many stars this thing was going to have. Like, I kind of didn't know John Hamm was going to be in it. He was great. Just cannot speak highly enough about Top Gun 2 Maverick.
This is the thing I was thinking as I was watching the movie yesterday. Tom Cruise is a movie star. You know how when you see an athlete or a musician and they just have that aura about them? They're a rock star. They are one of God's chosen people that have been put on this earth to play quarterback or put on this earth to be the star point guard. Tom Cruise is that person on the television screen, on the big screen. He is a movie star. We don't make movie stars like that anymore. Rob, I don't know if it's your Marvel movies that now everybody just aspires to be Nighthawk or whatever hell character they've created, or Ant-Man, or all these other foolish characters they've created. Tom Cruise is a movie star. He takes command of every scene that he is in. He still looks the same. Not a gray hair on him. This movie was amazing. All I can tell you to do is go watch it. Someone on the text line says, if you never saw the first Top Gun, can you watch this one and enjoy it? Yes. Some of the things you won't get, but I don't know how you can be a red-blooded American and not appreciate this movie. It was phenomenal. Top Gun Maverick, two thumbs up from the drive. I'm not going to give any spoilers. Two thumbs up, though. Rob, who's the most recent new movie star?
And this can't be a Marvel person,
no,
correct?
So they cannot be a superhero.
So, like, Tom Holland doesn't count.
No, I would not count Tom Holland. Because I think Marvel's made a few of those people. Like, Chris Pine, I would put in that. Chris Hemsworth. But they've all just played Marvel characters. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio is a movie star. He is somebody that will get you to go to the movie theater. He is somebody that just radiates, I am a movie star. I carry myself as a movie star. Who is that person? Who's the new school movie star?
This is going to sound weird. Is it The Rock? Is The Rock the guy now? But can you be a movie star when you have so many duds like Skyscraper or Rampage? Those aren't duds. They're nothing movies. Tom Cruise doesn't do nothing movies. Tom Cruise is a draw with whatever film he does. Everyone knew San Andreas was going to be a perfect FX It's a Sunday Nap Day movie. But if it's not The Rock, then who is it? And I can easily see The Rock not counting because he's going to play a DC hero. So that's a hero again.
That's our answer?
It's not good, but it's the answer I got.
We just don't make Tom Cruises anymore. We just stopped. Someone said, what about Michael B. Jordan? I don't know if I would consider Michael B. Jordan to be a movie star in this.
Also, he is in a Marvel movie.
He's also a popular actor.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being a popular actor and a movie star. People are saying Leonardo DiCaprio, who's in Titanic in 96. There's no one under the age of 40 that counts as a movie star. Like right now, everyone, the suggestions that people are making, they're all people who are over 40 or 50. Will Smith, Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg was in the Funky Bunch. He was in the Funky Bunch. There's just no one under the age of 40 we would classify to be a movie star anymore the way that Tom Cruise is. We typically would have started with the Royals today. And Josh Vernier's comments earlier today on Fesco in the morning, but I much rather had talked about Top Gun for the first 8 minutes of the show or not.
You're telling me Diamondbacks Royals didn't get the blood pumping like an IMAX Top Gun Maverick does?
No, they didn't get the blood pumping. But you know what? We're still going to give you your Royals taste with we're where you
want to be. Today's random Royals lineup. I'm going to take you back to May 16th of 1986. Why, you may ask? That is when Top Gun 1, which is now referred to as Top Gun 1, was released in theaters.
Mm.
When we first got our first taste of Danger Zone.
Oh, my goodness.
Leading off for the Royals in 86. By the way, off a World Series, so good for the Royals. They did not start hot. They lost on this day, fall 16 and 17. But that's neither here nor there. Leading off the center fielder, your guy, Willie Wilson.
Willie Wilson is just everywhere.
He's a full-time random Royals lineup player.
Willie Wilson is the Royals version of Norm Nixon.
Mm-hmm. Batting second, a name I've never heard before, in right field, Rudy Law.
Rudy Law?
Rudy Law sounds like the guy on MLB 2K that couldn't be Barry Bonds.
Is that Jude Law's pops?
Based on how old Jude Law is, might be his kid.
Rudy might be a name that millennials have killed. When's the last time you met somebody named Rudy?
I used to know Rudy. My younger days, but there aren't a lot of Rudys.
Someone asked a question, would you consider Robert Pattinson to be a movie star?
He's Batman.
Good point.
Batting third, man about town, third baseman, George Brett.
Yes. Jorge.
Batting fourth, the second baseman, Frank White.
Hey, Frankie.
Batting fifth, the designated hitter, Jorge Horta.
We have to ask George Brett if he loves Top Gun.
I mean, that's when we take him to.
He has to love Top Gun, right?
Yeah. When we take him to Propos, we'll ask him.
Yeah, he has to.
I mean, he played well this day, so maybe he was focused in before seeing a late movie in Chicago. Batting fifth, or excuse me, sixth, the first baseman, Steve Balboni.
Stevie.
Batting seventh was the left fielder, Lonnie Smith.
Lonnie.
Batting eighth, the catcher, Jamie Quirk.
Lonnie certainly sounds like an older African-American gentleman name, right? There's no chance Lonnie Smith is white.
Let's click on old Lonnie.
Let's look what Lonnie Smith looks like.
Lonnie is not white. You are correct.
Look, I mean, I knew it. Lonnie Smith? Come on now. Lonnie. You're telling me Tim and Jennifer raised their baby Lonnie? Come on now. I knew this wasn't the case. I knew Lonnie Smith was an older African-American gentleman. I knew it.
Batting ninth that day for the Royals, the shortstop, Angel Salazar.
Hey.
And the Royals did lose this day, but Charlie Liebrandt started. He went five, gave up four. He was relieved by Steve Farr as the Royals lost on Top Gun release date at Comiskey 4-2. The game lasted 2 hours, 41 minutes.
Yeah, George had to get out of there to go see Top Gun. He had to go leave. I'm out of here. I don't know. I'm gone. Thanks.
He was probably mad he didn't DH. Couldn't get out of there faster.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Thank you.
I had to break a sweat today.
I would love to get George Brett's thoughts on the first Top Gun movie. I would love to do that. Can we make that happen?
I was like to ask, hey, where'd you see it? And when he says Chicago, I'm going to laugh.
Yeah, no, we need to have him on. No, we have to have him on.
We also just need to have Willie Wilson on just because we talk about Willie Wilson every day on this show.
Because he's a phenomenal Kansas City.
I have no issue with him. I'm just saying he comes up every day in Royals random lineup.
Yeah, because he played for 20 different Royals teams. How do you not like Willie Wilson? Something's wrong with you if you don't like Willie Wilson. Two-time All-Star, World Series champion, Gold Glove, two-time Silver Slugger winner, led the American League in stolen bases in 1979. How can you not love Willie Wilson? Switch hitter. Willie Wilson's just a solid baseball player. Just all-around swell guy. Speaking of swell guys, Patrick Mahomes did something for Daryl Williams. That is the ultimate compliment. I'll tell you what that is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
Hi, Carrington. Doing fine. Thank you. Look forward to next week.
On your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Denny Matthews will join us on the show today. He had some things he had to take care of around the house yesterday. I said, Denny, no problem. You can just come on the show tomorrow. And he said, of course I'll come on with you, Carrington. I said, happily, we're happy to have you. Denny Matthews will be on the show coming up in about 15 minutes or so. There was a tweet that was circulating the interwebs earlier today. The tweet read as follows. Free agent running back Darrell Williams is set to sign with the Arizona Cardinals, per a source. I'm told Patrick Mahomes vouched for Darrell Williams, informing Arizona that he was a back that he both liked and trusted. I don't know if there are much better job references in the NFL than having Patrick Mahomes vouch for you. We can basically picture how this scenario happened. Cliff Kingsbury and Patrick Mahomes obviously have a relationship with one another, back to their time at Texas Tech. Arizona is interested in signing a former player, someone that you would think knows Patrick Mahomes really well. You put out a call, you put out a text and say, hey, get back to me. Mahomes, in between going to Coachella and NBA playoff games, finally reaches back out to Cliff Kingsbury. Hey, coach, what's up? Hey, man, we're thinking about signing this guy, Darrell Williams. What do you think? Hey, man, I love the guy. He was fantastic last year. We had some injuries that took place. Darrell Williams stepped up. He understood the offense. He was a productive player for us. You guys will be lucky to have him. Thanks, man. Say no more. Hope you and the wife and the kid are doing great. That's how I imagine this conversation went. Pat does a really good job of making teammates feel very special and appreciated, which seems like a no-brainer, but when you're the man, some people really struggle with that. Some people really struggle with either A, being one of the guys, even though you've reached a level where you're not really one of the guys anymore. The rest of the team got to fly regular commercial flights. You don't fly commercial flights anymore. You just live a different life than any of your other teammates. But you're still willing to put a phone call in to help Darrell Williams get a little bit of money. You're still willing to go out of your way to make sure that Jody Fortson feels appreciated for making the team.
Found out I made the team, you know, by pretty much a lot of congratulations from the team. You know what I'm saying? Pat was the first person I seen. I was in the weight room. He just came up to me and said, congratulations, man. All your hard work. I'm proud of you. And it kind of stemmed from there. It really didn't hit me when he was telling me this, that I had made the team. I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about? But he's like, what you mean? Like, you're the team? Like, you're here? I'm like, oh, snap. And then, like, a bunch of coaches just came up to me. It's like, congratulations, man. We've seen the work you put in. And just, it was just a collective family effort. Like, everybody involved just came up to me one by one. And this solidifies it right here, I guess. And I'm being right here in front of this mic telling you I'm on the team.
There's a few true superstars in the world of sports. But I think then, even in that group, there's a certain group of superstar that sets themselves apart by their conduct on and off the court and in their relationship with other teammates. Rob, have you ever heard a bad story about playing with Steph Curry? From anybody. Steph Curry's been in this league double-digit years. Never heard a bad story. People seem to like playing with Steph and being around Steph. Mahomes is in this special category of people that understands how important it is, even at his stage of his career, that you got to show love to these guys. And for him to personally vouch for Darrell Williams against a team that you're going to be playing in week one to help him potentially get a deal, that's just a really good teammate thing to do. Speaking of running backs, Rob, as you are the running back coordinator on this show, you have a defined role on this show. Whenever we have a running back question or comment, we come to you for the latest information. The Chiefs running back room is a little bit light this year. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has battled injuries. I like the addition of Ronald Jones, but he's not a true traditional number one running back. You've got a couple of young guys. You spent a seventh-round pick on a player. I know that Bank really likes the undrafted kid, Ealy. You've got Derek Gore, who I know fans really like, but the team hasn't really given that extended look. Who do you think that their running back room shows the most level of confidence in? I actually think it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This offense is sort of counting on Clyde Edwards-Helaire bouncing back and being good this year. Their offense and the way that it's set up and the way that it is structured is counting on Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be a productive and healthy player and being a 1A, 1B to Ronald Jones. We already can see how the power structure is going to be. You've got your two lead backs in Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Ronald Jones. That in an ideal world, you get both of those guys to touch the ball between 150 and 180 times. Derek Gore gets in where he fits in. Pacheco, the guy they got in the seventh round, he fills in. And you've got a staple of backs that you feel good that even if you lose Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a couple of weeks, Derek Gore's been in this offense and can step up. You obviously like the young guy, Pacheco. Binkley is really high on the undrafted kid, Ealy. So this isn't an elite running room by any means, and they're not going to be one of the top rushing teams in the league. But you got a couple of guys that you trust to be able to get you 10 to 12 carries, to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, and you got a guy who's been in this system for long enough who you think can be a productive player. But I know he's kind of gotten forgotten and thrown to the wayside so much, and we've been talking a lot more about the wide receiver group than we talked about the running back group. But the Chiefs have placed a level of confidence and trust in Clyde Edwards-Helaire by not being overly aggressive in trying to fix the running back room this year.
Yeah, I would say that what they've done or what they haven't done shows their biggest faith in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And as you were talking, I started thinking about something because remember before the draft, right after the draft, it was around the draft time. The draft was basically from opening day until now for us because the Royals. Brett Veach had that comment about how he believes one of the undrafted guys or seventh round guys in the draft was going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. And it got me thinking, I don't think they have as much confidence in Derek Gore as any fan does. I think Derek Gore is going to be a cut in the preseason. So if you go through the running back room and you think of who has the most faith, who's going to be the best this year, I think fans would like Derek Gore, but I think Derek Gore is going to get cut. I think Ronald Jones is Darrell Williams 2.0. He's a good player. He's not a great player. He has his limitations. We kind of know what he is. I don't think they trust him as much because he's going to wade into the system. You're not going to come in guns hot. I hated the first round pick of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But the Chiefs are continuing to put their faith in him, which is what you have to do. You have to, if you're going to draft a first round running back, you have to now have faith that he's going to be the guy. And the Chiefs, with their actions this offseason, have shown we have faith Clyde Edwards-Helaire can be the guy. And I hope they're right because the offense is more dynamic with him than without him, but that's what I would say they have the most faith in.
Text line 913-576-7610. They've been fixing position groups year by year, and I feel like running back group is next year. I think it really depends on what happens with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, they've spent a significant investment on a player who's still on the first year of his contract. Now, next year, they have the choice of picking up his fifth-year option. I'd be surprised if they picked up his fifth-year option, given what we've seen so far in his career. But I don't really think that running back is going to be one of those positions that they spend a lot of financial resources on. I could see them spending another high pick on a running back, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, maybe a high third-round pick. But I don't think it's a position that they ever plan on paying. They don't really use or emphasize it enough to really justify if you only got 6 to 8 massive contracts that you can sign on your roster. I don't know if they're the team that's ever going to spend that on a running back. Their quarterback's too good to do that. Their quarterback is too good to pay, quote, market value for a running back. So I think that conversation is over. I think they'll always be in this. They'll either have a running back on a rookie contract that they really like, they'll bring in a veteran on a one-year deal, and then they'll have a guy that they think they can develop somewhere hanging in the balance. And maybe they go pick up a Jerick McKinnon type or someone of that ilk, but I don't think they're ever really going to invest in the running back position where that they've shown they will at corner this year, or the way that the way that they've done at the safety position or the way they've done this year on the wide receivers or linebackers. I just can't see them spending that level of resources at the running back position, certainly not paying any of those individuals. Coming up in about 7 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. Today is a sad day. Not only is it gloomy outside and wet and rainy outside, remember yesterday how we talked about that Juneteenth ice cream? Social media got it out of here.
Now, Walmart is pulling the product following backlash. Critics said the red velvet and cheesecake flavored ice cream was disrespectful and greedy. On the outside of the carton, the logo read Celebration Edition and included the trademarked word Juneteenth. Those slamming the product on social media accused Walmart of attempting to profit off of black people. Juneteenth is observed each year on June 19th to mark the official end of slavery in the U.S. Walmart did not immediately respond to a New York Post request for comment after pulling the product. For 610 Sports Radio, I'm Sam Stevie.
Rob, we didn't even get a bowl of the Juneteenth ice cream. Are they pulling the Pride ice cream? Wouldn't everything we just said about Juneteenth, wouldn't be able to say the same thing about the Pride flavor of ice cream? Because they were selling that too. We couldn't even get a bowl. Rob, do you think that we got the Juneteenth ice cream canceled?
I think we may have lent to its notoriety, which eventually got it canceled.
We might have got it canceled.
I mean, how many shows in the country are talking Juneteenth ice cream yesterday?
Not many.
At least one.
Not many. I can't believe that we have that much power that we got the Juneteenth ice cream canceled. I didn't even want it canceled. I wanted them to send us some. I wanted to celebrate Juneteenth with a nice waffle cone and two scoops. But now you guys have taken that ability away from me. Thanks, Walmart. Thanks for nothing. Can't believe you played me this way. You played me is what you did. Absolutely played me. All right, coming up, someone who probably loves ice cream as well, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, will join the show. We'll talk to him about the Royals crossing the 40-game mark. We'll get the Hall of Famers' thoughts. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs and your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very happy to be joined by the Hall of Famer, the voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Denny, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Carrington.
So, Denny, we are 40 games into the season for the Kansas City Royals. What's been your biggest takeaway so far?
Well, I look for the improvement, the development of the young players and pitchers, position and pitchers, and some have been very good, some not quite as fast. Everybody has their own timetable. The starting pitching has been a disappointment. The bullpen, for the most part, has been pretty good. The game Sunday and last night notwithstanding, the bullpen really has been okay. Not disappointed in that. I think the offense has obviously been inconsistent from time to time, but there's some young players sprinkled into that starting lineup, and they are going to be inconsistent early in their careers, and they'll become more consistent as time goes on. And I'm talking about the guys like Melendez and Witt and so on. They're gonna keep getting better, and if they don't, we're in big trouble. But they're very good, and they're going to be better.
Denny, you mentioned the last two games certainly haven't gone the way that the Royals would like for them to go. How difficult is it to not let games like that linger and send you into a tailspin? You had the funny line on Sunday about the cake and then spilling the cake all over the floor. How do you avoid one or two losses, turn it into eight or nine losses?
A solid start from a pitcher. The stopper, remember they used to call the guy that would come in and pitch very well after a four or five game losing streak and stop the losing streak. And we thought maybe Greinke would be the guy last night, but it didn't work out that way. That was kind of disappointing because Zach obviously has the credentials. He has the experience, but it didn't work. And you need your starting pitchers to get together and really give your offense a chance to win the game for you. And again, I always go back to our defense, Carrington, because all the darn walks that have popped up and really hurt the team. And walking people with, in my opinion, one of the two best defenses in all of baseball behind you, walking people, there's no defense against the walk. Your infielders and outfielders are standing there watching the pitcher give out a free ticket to base runners. And it's always, obviously, more difficult to play defense with runners on base than when the bases are clean. So that's the thing that's been disappointing, too, the number of walks, and especially leadoff walks and walks. Well, any time is a bad time for a walk, but two-out walks, leadoff walks have really hurt the team, and that's been a disappointment.
Right now we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, joining us on the show today. Denny, if you look at some of the advanced numbers, the officiating, the umpiring was not great yesterday. Is that part of just the human element of baseball, or is there something you think Major League Baseball can do in this scenario?
Yeah, it's part of it. It always has been and always will be until they want to go to a system of the robot umpire behind home plate. I don't know when that's going to happen. It might happen sooner than later. It may never happen. It just depends. But as far as the plate umpire, as a pitcher, and the experienced pitchers are better at overcoming what they perceive to be not a very good strike zone. Experienced pitchers can adapt to that. The less experienced pitchers might fight it rather than try to figure out a way to combat it and get around it. And I think that's another factor as far as young, inexperienced pitchers fighting the strike zone. You can't do that. You just have to adapt to the strike zone the umpire is presenting on any given day and go from there.
Denny, are you in favor of the robot umpires?
I don't know. I don't know, Carrington, because I'd like to see it implemented for 2 months, 60 games, 70 games, then I'd have a much better feel for it. I don't like some of the strike zones that the umpires have shown. But again, as you pointed out, that's just a part of the game. It's human nature. It's part of it. Each umpire seems to have his own strike zone rather than the rule book strike zone. That's been one of the criticisms leveled against some of the umpires. But some are very good at calling balls and strikes. Some aren't. And again, you go back to experience versus lack of. And I think if the umpires were, if the strike zone was a little more lenient, we wouldn't have as many 3-2 counts. We wouldn't have as many foul balls. If the strike zone was a little better, bigger, then the hitters will understand and realize they better swing the bat when they step into the batter's box instead of taking 5 or 6 pitches hoping they'll get ahead in the count. Well, that prolongs the at-bat. It puts an added strain, pressure on the pitcher, and the game bogs down. And it's not nearly as enticing as a game moving along. Put the ball in play. Let the defense work. That's when you see base running. It's when you see good defensive plays. That's when you see runs scored. Action. That promotes action. So anything that will force the hitters to swing the bats early in the count and keep the game moving, I'm all for it.
Denny, I want to get you out of here with one negative and one positive. I'll start with the glass half empty approach first. What is this organization, this team, going to do about Carlos Santana? You always tell me that you got to be patient. You got to give it 2 more weeks. They've given Carlos Santana a lot of 2-week extensions. And for him to be the designated hitter yesterday, and he's hitting under 200, at this point, I just want to see them make a transition to one of the younger players that they have in their farm system or one of the young guys they have on their roster and just give them the at-bats and let them work through whatever happens early on in your career.
Well, Santana, from about midway through the season last year to present, has really struggled offensively, especially from the left side, and he's going to be up there left-handed a lot more than right-handed. I wouldn't mind, and I said it maybe on the air, maybe not, I don't remember, but I said with Dozier at first, I think Hunter Dozier could turn into a really, he's a good athlete, so he could be a really good defensive first baseman, and I would compare him in that regard to Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals, who's a Gold Glove first baseman. I'm comparing him because they're both good athletes. Now, to get to where Goldschmidt is now, Hunter Dozier would have to go through 2 or 3 seasons of playing first base exclusively and keep getting better and better. Would he do that? Who knows? But I think it's a decent comparison. I wouldn't feel bad at all about putting Hunter Dozier at first base and just leaving him there.
Last thing here, Denny, and we appreciate your time. The pitcher, Brady Singer, he has been phenomenal so far this year. He's really been a bright spot. What do you think he's done that's really helped him turn the corner of late?
Well, I think it's a mental and physical improvement for him, and going down to AAA for the brief time he was down there, I think really turned on a couple of lights for him. Everybody keeps talking about how he has implemented his changeup, which has really helped him. He was a little bit reluctant about the pitch. He wasn't totally confident in it. He was basically fastball slider, pound the strike zone. He wasn't working as quickly as he is now. He's right on top of things, and the changeup has turned into a great weapon for him. And a starting pitcher really has to have 3, some of them 4, quality pitches. And Brady was working with 2. Now, that's fine for a relief pitcher who a hitter's only going to see once, and maybe he's going to get 3 outs and he's out of the game. But a starting pitcher, and you want him to get into the – I like the starters to get into the 7th inning every time, because if you only go 5 innings as a starter, you're talking about 3, 4, 5 guys coming out of the bullpen, one of which maybe doesn't have his best day or night, doesn't have his great stuff, and now you're in trouble late in the game. So if you're a starter – and maybe Brady's our stopper. He's back-to-back with great starts, and the Royals may need another one from him next time he's out there. But I, to answer your question, the changeup has been a big thing. I think his head was cleared a little bit. He got a different focus down in AAA. And, boy, if he can keep doing what he's been doing over his last 2 starts, why, we're in good shape.
That is the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, joining us on the show today as we are at the 40-game mark. for the Kansas City Royals. Denny, it's always an honor to get a chance to have you on our show. We really appreciate you.
Thanks, Carrington. I appreciate that, and I'll look forward to the next time.
That's my guy, Denny Matthews, always joins us Mondays at 3 o'clock, but had to switch. He had some business to take care of yesterday. Happy to accommodate the Hall of Famer, Denny Matthews. I always wonder this when it comes to the officiating. Our baseline when it comes to officiating is to complain. It is our baseline is to be upset and frustrated with the officiating in whatever sport we are watching. Is the officiating worse, or do we have more information and more technology to be able to react to the officials in real time? Because I think it's the latter. I don't think the officiating in the NFL is worse than it's ever been, or the NBA or Major League Baseball. We just have more data than ever before to tell you when officials make mistakes. Part of what Denny is talking about, the human element of it, as much as we love to complain about it, the officials and the coaches and players' interaction with the official is a part of the game. It's the gamesmanship. Rob, how many times have you seen Bill Self get on the officials very early on in the game, and he knows that late in the game he'll get that call based on how he's been working the official the entire game? We know that. Those charge calls that you get at home, oh, yeah, they're blocking fouls on the road. We've just accepted that as part of sports. We can debate on whether or not it should be, but it's a fabric in the game at this point. I just wonder if the officiating is the same, if not better than it's ever been, because there is more information. We have more of a tool to break down and study officials, but we just have more avenues to break them down. Sports are not meant to be watched frame by frame in slow motion. You can convince yourself of anything if that's the case. The strike zone has always been subjective. Block charge has always been subjective. And you just determine how you want block charge or how you want the strike zone to be called. You know Denny. Denny is a pace of play strike guy. Denny is in favor of a larger strike zone. You got guys swinging. You got guys putting the ball in play. There's more movement. There's more action in the sport. I personally hate charge calls. I wouldn't call them a lot. Some of you do like it and think it's defense, even though I think it's great placement and great acting. The block call, the block charge has basically become strategic standing and knowing when to fall correctly. And if you know when to fall correctly and make a sound, you'll get the call every single time. Every time. That's what block charge has turned into. I hate it, but it's a part of college basketball. Part I like to get rid of, but it's a part of it.
One thing I'll say, and I felt this way for a while about the officiating, because you're right, it's the march of the losers who's complaining about the officials. Subjective elements are always elements in sports. The strike zone, the block charge, we can complain about them, and I'd like to see them improved, but they are what they are. I think refereeing and umpiring and officiating has gotten worse because they've become overly reliant on replay. Now they know that they don't actually have to like focus up and make the right call because the eye in the sky has their back. I know it wasn't like a game-changing play, but last night Bobby Witt was out at first base. I thought in real time he was out. They called him safe. And I think these officials now and these umpires and every sport are like, 50-50 call, doesn't really matter what I call, eye in the sky has my back. I think replay has made officiating worse because they're not as required to be perfect. It's now, we'll see what happens here. I'm going to give a first down. I'm going to call him out. I'm going to say offside. We'll go back and look at it. We always go back and look at things, and it's grinding sports to a halt.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler. We'll get his thoughts on if he's a Top Gun guy or not. If you missed off the break, Rob and I went to go see Top Gun Maverick yesterday. Two thumbs up from both of us. It is a must-see summer film. I highly encourage you this weekend to go out and watch Top Gun Maverick. Have you ever tried to convince yourself of something? The information, the data was right there in front of you. But you kept trying to convince yourself, man, it ain't that bad. It really ain't that bad, man. I can do it. It is that bad. You can't do it. Tyreek Hill had one of those moments today. Now, we've already started to see some problems with Tua. Remember that video a couple of weeks ago when he was out there throwing that flutter ball? When he was out there throwing that duck? Remember that? And then Tyreek had to step in and say, hey, you guys are being too tough. Well, today, Tyreek Hill spoke with the Miami media, and he said that Tua has crazy arm talent.
I'm very confident in my quarterback, you know, so I just feel like, you know, if I'm able to, like, help him get all the confidence in the world and push other guys to push that confidence into him, then the sky's the limit for the guy, you know, because he's a heck of a talent, you know, has crazy arm strength, arm talent, you know. So, like I said, man, we're all excited, you know, just to watch him sling the ball each and every day.
Yeah, I'm sure. He out there throwing them bounce passes like Luka Doncic. Out there throwing them flutter balls. Kevin Love's a better deep ball passer than Tua. What are you talking about? He's got crazy arm talent. He might have the worst arm talent in his division, and he plays in the same division as Mac Jones. You talking about crazy arm talent? You ain't got a lot of me, dog. Just go down there and tell me what it was about. It's about that money. It's about that coin while you in Miami.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy he has none. Right? That's crazy. An NFL quarterback has no arm strength. Crazy.
He's as Chad Pennington with Heisman considerations. Who he is. Crazy arm strength. Bro, you're lying to people. You know that's not factual. You know that. Someone said, you guys are being mean. He does have the most talented left arm talent. Is he the best left-handed quarterback in the league? He can't be the best left-arm quarterback in the league. He can't be.
I mean, is there another one? That's probably why he's one. He's the only one.
Nah, there's got to be another. He's the only left-handed quarterback in
the
league?
I mean, think about it. I can't think of another one off the top of my head.
Let's Google it. Let's Google who the other left-handed quarterbacks would be in the league. I'm actually very curious to know.
I don't think there's another one.
It's just him.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the best left-hand quarterback in the league. Great point, Texter.
My bad. I didn't know that. I would assume there were a couple. I mean, not just – he's the only one in the league? Wow, Tua. Wow.
Does it seem like lefties don't throw the ball hard in football? Like, it always seemed like Matt Leinart was lollipopping it in there. I don't know why.
Text line 913-576-7610. Man, I swear you Chiefs fans can't keep ex-Chiefs players out of your mouth. Find something better to talk about than other ex-Chiefs players. Nah. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster. Rex Hudler will be on the show next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.